A newly released report finds that millions of cars and trucks could be vulnerable to being hacked. Auto analyst John McElroy is here. He is host of the AutoLine Daily webcast. John, this report was directed by Senator Ed Markey, Democrat from Massachusetts. So that kind of tells us Congress thinks this hacking is a real threat.
Well, they are. And, you know, they're a little bit late to the party in the sense that this has been known for a number of years now that cars could be hacked. And not just hacked by somehow sneaking into a car and wiring up something that would allow you to take control of it. There are at least a half a dozen ways to wirelessly hack into a car remotely. There's been some very good research papers and even some very good YouTube videos on all this. So it's good to see that the U.S. government is catching up to all of it.
Give us a sense, what kinds of gateways are there? How are they getting in and able to hack a vehicle?
It's amazing. It's amazing where you can get into a car. So, for example, Bluetooth. When you pair your phone to your car, that's all done wirelessly. Somebody can sniff out your Bluetooth protocol and get into your car that way. Another way, these remote key fobs where you just have to push a button on your fob to lock or unlock your car. In some modern cars, even newer cars, I should say, as soon as you walk up to the door handle and touch it, as long as the key fob is in your pocket, it will unlock the car. And again, wireless way for hackers to get in. Another thing, and this is crazy, people don't realize that there is a wireless tire pressure monitoring system on all new cars. And it will let you know if your tires are underinflated or even overinflated.
Yeah.
And this has been a move by the government to try to get everybody to properly inflate their tires, which if we did, by the way, as a nation, we could reduce our oil dependence so much that we could get off of Saudi Arabia's oil. But that tire pressure monitoring system is another way in. Another way is through Wi-Fi. More and more cars are becoming available with that. General Motors is making a big deal out of having 4G LTE. Another way, corrupted song files. Somebody could put malware into a song file, use social media to entice you to say, hey, check out the sound, download it and play it in your car. Boom. Once you get on what they call the CAN, the controller area network, this is the electronic nervous system that controls everything in a car. Once you're on the CAN, you're in, and now you can control just about anything on an automobile.
John, are there any known cases of someone's car actually being hacked and taken over?
No, none that, you know, were done by the bad guys, so to speak.
Sure.
As I said, there's been college kids and university researchers and others who have made their own YouTube videos very crudely hacking into a car. To my knowledge, there is no case of malfeasance, i.e. bad guys trying to hack into your car and do bad things with it.
Last month came that announcement from Germany of that security flaw that could have opened up over 2 million BMWs, Minis, and Rolls Royces to being unlocked by hackers because of BMW's connected drive. So are we to be wary of things like connected drive or OnStar or these wireless networks?
I wouldn't worry for right now, because even though it is possible for hackers to get into a car wirelessly, once they're in, man, it's a huge task to reverse engineer all the software in a car. And remember, there's all different kinds of softwares for the steering, for the transmission, for the engine, for the brakes, and it goes on and on and on. So to really competently take control of a car takes a lot of time, and time is money. It's probably right now just too expensive for hackers to be able to do it. However, people love to hack. And the bad guys love sharing their knowledge and practices, their procedures of how to get in. And as more and more of this knowledge gets shared, it's going to become only easier and faster to hack into a car.
Just like we've seen with our personal computers. So the challenge seems to lie for the automakers and their engineers to make this stuff, design it so it's less vulnerable to hacking.
It is, and there's various steps that you can do. I mean, it starts with even the servers, not even on the cars themselves, but servers that can have firewalls. Additionally, putting firewalls into cars as well. But that's clearly not going to be enough. Firewalls can be worked around. What's needed right now is some way of identifying bad commands in a car, even if they make all the sense in the world. It might just say, oh, unlock the doors. Well, maybe that's not a good thing if you're going 70 miles an hour. But what I'm getting at is that the industry is at a crossroads right now. Everybody's working on this problem, but how do you solve it? Do you put additional hardware on a car that will try to block hackers? Or, and this is even more interesting, can you put in software patches that can alert you of an attack and make sure bad things don't happen to your car? But even if you do those things, go with new hardware and or some sort of software patch that protects you, the hackers will be able to break it. So you're going to need to be able to update these things. And in fact, what some of the cybersecurity experts have told me is that getting your cybersecurity software updated in your car is going to become as common as getting an oil change.
Auto analyst John McElroy giving us a look at the brave new world of wireless hacking in our vehicles. He's host of AutoLine Daily Webcast. John, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.